Hey, Brian, it's Brandon.
Hello, Brendan. How are you?
Doing great. Nice to hear your voice, my friend.
Nice to hear your voice, too. We're going to have a great call today. We're going to talk about coaching.
Great.
And I know that people who are listening are impatient. They want to get right to the point. So what I wanted to ask you, Brendan, as an expert, what is the most valuable benefit that an individual gets from being coached by someone else?
Wow, that's a great one. To me, it's always about, I think the most expensive thing in the world we should ever pay for from an expert is perspective.
Yes.
And I think what a coach offers is that outside view to give perspective and also best practices, you know, because we can't see the picture, we can't see the frame if we're in the picture, and we can't see what's happening all around us, and we can't see our own performance outside of what we think we're doing. And worse, if we're not working with a coach, what we think we are doing, we're never able to really juxtapose against what other people are doing. And great coaches can say, hey, actually, look, you're performing this way. You should be performing that way because these other 50 people are doing it who I coach, who I know the results they're getting, and what works for them are these things.
Yeah.
And then they can also ask the added insight that I think is so critical of you know, we're not really great at self-introspection, right? We're human beings. We're not good. I mean, a lot of people, you call them, I think you call them, belly button gazers or something. You have a great word for it. I can't remember what it is. But, navel gazers. Yeah, there are people who are really great, you know, navel gazers. They're always looking at themselves and they're trapped in their own world and they're just not really taking action. But people who actually hire coaches, I think, are very different. I think that they have an incredible ability to understand that they don't know everything going on in their lives, and they're open to somebody who's going to ask penetrating questions that give them the perspective and the clarity about what to do next.
You know, it's really a great answer to the question, because one of the things that happens is people think all there is to know about my subject I already know, so therefore if I can't change, improve, correct, my area, it's because it can't be done, because I already know everything I need to know, and then
right.
What happens is superior people are overwhelmed by their ignorance. And in the information age, they're overwhelmed by how little they know, and they are just sponges for new information and perspectives. That's a really, really good observation.
Thank you. Well, I've never met anyone in my life who was successful who didn't have coaches, either informal or formally, you know, who wasn't, you know, deeply interested on a consistent basis of getting great feedback and clarity about what they're doing. And honestly, I learned a lot of that from reading your books when I was starting out of, you know, if I'm going to hit maximum achievement, I better have somebody paying attention to what I'm doing and giving me, you know, some thought-provoking questions or feedback that's going to allow them to get better. And I think if you can get over the ego part of, you know, success, which is, you know, I think the people who actually need coaches the most aren't necessarily just the people who are beginning, but the more successful you get, I think the more you need coaches.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's interesting, if you go and connect coaches with sports, you'll find that every single top sports figure has a coach or coaches, whether
mm-hmm.
it's Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan or anyone else. And the quality of the coach largely determines the career of the athlete. And athletes who have been average up to a certain point start to go to work under a coach like John Wooden. And these people become superstars, transform their lives, become national heroes because they had good coaching. It's interesting. I've been in this field, looking at this field for a long time. 20% of Fortune 1000 companies use coaches. They bring them in for their executives. They bring them in for their high-potential managers. And they will often set it up in such a way that the coach-coachee relationship is completely private and confidential. So the company will pay to connect them with a coach, and then that coach will be sort of like a guide for them to ask them questions. Jim Collins, in his book Good to Great, says one of the characteristics of top executives is that they are prepared to ask the brutal questions. And the brutal questions that he talks about in his book is, why aren't you already great? If you want your company to be a great company, why isn't it already a great company? And that is a real brutal question, because then people have to really look at their navel really, really hard and realize, well, maybe it's because I'm not doing what I need to do. Maybe I don't have the skills. Maybe I don't have the ability. Maybe I don't have the insights. In other words, in coaching, you can ask, why aren't you already at the top of your field? Everybody's goal must be to be in the top 10% of their field. If your goal is not to be in the top 10% of your field, you automatically default to mediocrity. Anything less than a commitment to excellence is an acceptance of mediocrity. You don't just say, well, I'm pretty good. No. If you aren't dedicated and driven like an athlete to win, then what happens is you lose. So therefore, a coach's job can ask, why aren't you already in the top 10%?
Yeah, I think that's huge. I know we have a lot of people who are listening to this who want to be coaches or who are coaches, and I think one of the main takeaways is, you know, your job as a coach is to help people find that perspective about, you know, what is working, what isn't working, about helping them find greater insights about themselves. But I like what Brian just said there, and I think it's really important that everyone hears and writes down, which is, it's helping them also get that commitment to excellence. Because anybody going through, I mean, we say this at High Performance Academy all the time, you know, anybody going through the success journey, it gets worn down. You know, the struggle becomes a struggle, it becomes a struggle, it becomes a struggle, and you have some small wins here and here and here, but you're always on that treadmill of trying to get more and more and more, and you just kind of end up being so busy that you're just trying to knock things off the checklist, and you forget to bring your A game. And being a great coach demands of others, challenges them to find something more in themselves and to bring a greater level of excellence to what they're doing. And if you can get someone to get into that belief as you're talking about, then I feel like that's how we get them to higher levels of performance.
Yes. Well, what I do, I do CEO coaching. So I work with a series of CEOs, people who are running multi-million dollar businesses, and some of them are worth an enormous amount of money. And they need a sounding board. They need someone to bounce things off of. So I will ask them really simple questions like, for example, what are your major strategic goals for your business in the years ahead? Where do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish? And we work on that. And then we say, well, what are the major obstacles to getting from where you are to achieving those goals? What are the internal obstacles within yourself and your business? What are the external obstacles? And another thing I ask is, what are the major stress points in your business? What is causing you the most frustration or even anger in your business? And why is this? So you keep asking questions, and then it's almost like batting a ball against the wall. You keep bouncing back answers like, well, why is this a problem? Or what are the solutions to this problem? What are the things that you can do? Or are there things that you can do? In some cases, I find that you can help a person by realizing that there are some things they can't change, that the situation is just a fact on the ground, the state of the market, the state of the economy, and so on.
When you're coaching with folks, Brian, how much do you go into their feelings and emotions?
Well, it turns out a lot. It turns out that it's almost like there's two spectrums. There's on one end, there's pure business, is how do we solve the business problems? How do we find the right people? How do we drive sales, increase profitability? How do we cut out loss-making parts of our business? And what executives, what my clients want, is how do you deal mostly with people problems? How do you deal with this particular situation, with this particular person who is doing or not doing this? What's the proper way to handle it? One of my CEO clients was telling me last week that one of his big challenges is his business is growing, and that several of his key executives who joined him early and are close friends, family friends, Christmas parties and everything else, have not been able to grow with the business, and they are now blocks to the growth of the business. And how do you deal with that? These people are your friends. They've been with you from the beginning. They've believed in your vision. They're doing the best they can, but they stop growing. And you know something? What I said to my client, I said, this is as common as ditch water. I don't mean to, you know, be flippant, but it's absolutely standard that people fail to grow. Is they reach a certain point and then they flatten out. I say they flatline, and they don't get any better. Mm. And what you have to do, it's real tough. What you have to do is you have to gently move them aside if you want the company to keep growing.
Mm, I agree. You know, and helping people grow, I'll share with you a couple of my favorite questions to ask my coaching clients, and I'd love to hear yours too. And one of the things that always spurs my clients that they have to grow is this question they all hate that I ask them this, but it always generates great conversation, which is, what don't you know that we should be worried about?
Jeez. That's a good one.
What don't you know that we should be worried about? And then they'll kind of contort their face and they'll go, well, what do you, you know, and they'll come up with things. So a business person might say, well, you know, I don't know how to do this particular skill. Or someone will say, well, you know, I don't know this number, these numbers about business. I should probably know that more. You know, I don't know what my, you know, competitors are doing. I just, this last Saturday, sat down with the client. He runs a $20 million business and lives here in the same city I live in. And we meet every month and I coach him. And he was telling me, I asked him this question. He said, Brian, he said, I don't know what this entire group of my company really does. And I thought, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
We should find out about that. And by asking these questions, what you end up discovering is all the areas in which your clients sometimes need to gain more knowledge, skills, abilities, experience, talents, exposure, perspective. And it forces them to grow, because I think part of growth is facing what you don't know and learning again. And I think that what a great coach does, if they can imbue those that excellence that we talked about earlier in terms of what they do, but also imbue upon them that it's they have to be on this continual learning journey facing what they don't know and accumulating new skills and knowledge in order to grow, I think that way we've been a good coach to them.
That's wonderful. You know, you asked me a question which I only half answered. What is it? What do I deal with emotions? I was starting off to say that there's a spectrum from pure business to pure personal. And two of my clients have got very successful businesses that are operating like Swiss watches. They are very knowledgeable with decades of experience. They don't need any input from me on how to run their business better. I mean, if anything, I should be asking them for advice on how to run my business better. But almost invariably, once you have satisfied the business side, the personal side becomes major in your life. The challenges with your family, the challenges with your relatives, the challenges with certain staff, and so on. And so the personal and the interpersonal becomes very important. So sometimes I'll start off by saying, if your business was perfect in the near future, what would it look like and how would it be different from today? And then what are the things that we could do to make your business perfect? In other words, if we could have all the things that you would like to have and remove all the things that you don't want to have, describe your perfect business. And then we can go, if your life was perfect, what would it look like? And you know what I've started to ask my clients on both sides is, what gives you joy?
Mm.
It's just one of the great questions. What gives you joy? What makes you feel really happy about yourself and your life? Because in my estimation, the true measure of how well you're doing as a person in life is basically how much joy do you experience? How happy are you? And I learned that, you know, from Ayn Rand, you know, many, many years ago. She said that the true measure of human success is that you are happy with yourself and your life. If you accomplish everything else in the world but you're not happy, then you're really a failure. But if you're truly happy with what you do, then you're a success no matter how much money you make. So that's been a guiding principle of mine, and it's also a great coaching question and a great coaching direction.
Right. Oh, I love that. I love that. And I like the focus you said, too, of asking them about how much so much of those emotions, even joy, comes from their relationships with other people and where they get that. I just saw this quote from Warren Buffett the other day about how he said, you know, about measuring the success of his life. And he said it basically comes down to how many people did you want, how many people and which people did you want to love you, and then at the very end, really did love you? You know? I thought that was so great. You know, you want your kids to love you, but do they really love you? You know, you want this person to love you, do they really love you? And did you create the conditions that could happen? And I thought that was really great. And I think the successful people are focused on those softer topics. I mean, Warren Buffett talking about love and what we're speaking about now of joy and those experiences of happiness. And it's really important. I really feel, to me, with emotions and coaching, is I focus on it as much as anything else, period, because to me, if my client doesn't feel engaged and productive and fulfilled in whatever endeavor it is I'm coaching them on, whether I'm coaching them in the sports arena or I'm coaching them in business or I'm coaching them, you know, to do what I do or do, you know, accomplish their dreams, I have to say, okay, along the way, are they engaged with it? Meaning, usually, are they passionate about it? Is this something they should be doing in the first place? Does it draw joy from them? Does it draw enthusiasm from them? If it doesn't, they're not engaged. And then that second thing I ask is, well, are they being productive along the path to make that endeavor come to fruition? I mean, are they actually making things happen? Are they getting it done? Are they moving forward? You know, and that's where that accountability part of coaching comes into play. And then ultimately, though, are they fulfilled by this? And if they're not fulfilled, or if they don't, I mean, if you take any of those away, that will bleed into the coaching relationship in which at some point they won't see you as a utility anymore. They won't see the need to have a coach. If they're going through, and no matter how, if they're meeting with you over and over and over and over again, and they don't sense in some way they're fine, you know, they're being more engaged, productive, and fulfilled with life, then they're going to move on. Yeah. It's not just about, you know, giving them the, I think too many beginning coaches, to me, Brian, they're so worried about the plan. They're so worried about the to-dos and the checklist to give their coaching clients, yes, that they forget about their emotional world. And if we can't heighten their emotional world, then what are we for?
Yes. Well, it's interesting. And I was just coming back to the people who are listening. They're in two categories. There are people who are coaches. There are people who want to be coaches. And there are people who should have a coach. I think that probably would cover the three, wouldn't you say?
I agree, yeah.
So what I would like to offer is some value. If you want to be a coach, what is the key to being a coach? Well, there are courses, and I kind of shake my head, where you take 2,000 or 3,000 hours and you pay many thousands of dollars to learn how to be a coach. And I just shake my head because I've never taken any of those courses, and I coach at some of the highest levels in America. And because
right.
What I find is that a good coach is an experienced person who has a structure, and I have a series of questions that I ask people, and they are a good confidant and good listener, and that's it. Then you're a good coach. Then you can be a good coach. A good coach is really a good professional friend who's knowledgeable and experienced and can give you advice and perspectives that you don't have yourself. So if a person is thinking of becoming a coach, you don't have to take those hundreds and thousands of hours of coaching programs. It's a much easier thing than that. You still need to have a process. Yes, you have to have a process of questions that you ask. And what I have is when I work with a CEO client, I require that they fill out a coaching questionnaire, and it's about 15 questions and has 2 or 3 answers each, and then they give that to me, and then we meet for the first time. And this goes through each part of their lives, their major goals, their major frustrations, major obstacles, what they want to accomplish, what they want from a coach, if the coaching relationship was perfect, what would happen, and so on. And then we go through that on our first meeting to make sure that we're compatible. And it works out amazingly well. And then once I determine that the focus of our work together is going to be on business building, then I will give them a series of questionnaires on different parts of their business, and we will review those at the next coaching session. So there'll be coaching session 1, business questionnaire 1, and coaching session 2, business questionnaire 2, on different parts of business so that we have a structure. I call it the spine and ribs method of coaching. The spine are the critical questions and points, and the ribs are the digressions and the other subjects that we discuss and the inputs and the insights and so on. We keep coming back to the spine.
Hmm. That's good. I think it's important to have that come back to. You know, what? One of the number one questions I get when I'm talking with groups like this about coaching, and I'd love to hear your perspective, is they say, well, you know, if it's so working on their goals and their emotions and you're listening, and, you know, everyone says the number one thing you have to do in coaching is listen, well, what's the difference between coaching and counseling?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I have studied... I've studied executive coaching. I always study everything exhaustively before I do it the first time. And some of the biggest management consulting firms in the world have executives who coach executives. So a lot of this ground has all been plowed, is basically my conclusion.
Agreed.
And one of the things is you don't, just like in counseling, you don't tell people what to do. In coaching, you don't say, now do this, now do that. What you do is you ask them really good questions. Is what do you think you should be doing here? And if you were to do that, what difference would it make? And how would you measure success? So you force people to do their own thinking. You're basically a good questioner. And you ask really good questions that help people develop, as you say, a broader perspective.
Mm. Agreed. I think that's really important. I think... The one thing that I really liked about what you said, and I hope people heard it, was that each of your sessions, you're really focused on the spine of, you've got this questionnaire, you've got direction, and you're working around it, and lots of things come up throughout that process that you can talk and direct and question on, but the important thing is that client feels that there's some focus here. I remember the first time I hired a coach, and we'd get together, and it was just, you know, it was nice conversations and some penetrating questions, but the sessions and the direction of the relationship we had didn't have a focus, didn't have a direction.
No.
And if clients don't send, I mean, the most important thing I think that clients have to feel in terms of why they would pay you money, you know, because we can all have lots of professional friends, but if a coach is a paid professional friend, we'd better figure out, well, what is it that makes them pay for us?
Yeah.
And I would say, number one, it's that perspective that they sense every time we get together, they get a greater perspective about themselves, their industry, their business, the world itself, as terms of you opening up their minds with great penetrating questions or best practices that you can bring to the table. And I would say the second one, which is really important to my last point, which is progress.
Yes.
If they're not sensing there is this journey that is moving forward, if it's just great conversations and great questions, but they don't actually sense the progress in both the relationship between you and the coachee, but also what they're trying to accomplish,
yes,
then we're in trouble again. You know, and so I'm always focused. That's why I come back to being engaged and productive and fulfilled, because I need to know that they sense they're progressing.
Yeah.
And if they don't sense they're progressing, then they're just going to walk into the meeting with their head hung low and, well, Brenna, I didn't do anything again. And you know, and from there, the relationship dies and I stop getting paid. So I'm very focused and diligent about their progress as well.
Well, it's interesting. Many of these coaching programs, people who go into coaching genuinely want to help other people. Unfortunately, they get led astray. And I'll just tell you two things. One is that they are taught to do what is called personal coaching. And I was working with a senior executive of a large coaching organization that eventually collapsed. And I said, well, what is your structure? He said, we don't have a structure. We're absolutely adamant we have no structure. We just go with the flow. So you call the person up and you say, how's everything going? Are you happy today? How's your life? And it's just kind of like a...
like my mom calling me.
Pardon? Yeah, it's like your mom calling you. And I began a coaching program for entrepreneurs, business owners, in 2001, and I continued it for 7 years. It was my goal for seven years. I put 1,000 business owners through it, a group coaching process, and it is not a lecture process. It's not a teaching process. It's a coaching process. So I designed an 80-20 structure whereas in 20% of the time, I would explain a critical exercise, how you identify your unique selling proposition in your business. And then they would fill out a questionnaire, which helped them to really expand on it. And then they would discuss it with other people at their table. So it was brief teaching, intensive personal work on themselves and their business, and then mastermind discussion and sharing ideas with other people, and then action commitments. Is they would decide, all right, this is the one action or more that I'm going to take between now and the next session. And the success rate in that was just extraordinary because of the structure. But it was always question. So people came in, and throughout the day, it was a working day. A coaching session, in a way, should be a working session. And there are many people who teach people, what you do is you go out and coach, and you just be a happy, happy coach. You'd be a life coach, be a personal coach, and just say, how's it going? What makes you happy? What are your goals today? How's everything going? And it's the kind of coaching you were talking about a couple of seconds ago. For people like us, it's very frustrating. We want to feel forward progress. We want to feel that this coaching process is moving us forward.
I think that's really important. When I'm curious to hear, by the way, about your journey of being a coach, and because I know a lot of people are saying, okay, I know I want to be a coach, and maybe I don't need, you know, thousands of hours of training or thing, but, you know, how do I start? What do I do to you know, get paid? How do I hang my hat out there and let people know that I'm a coach and I'm for hire?
Well, it's a great question. We're starting later on this year. We're starting a coaching teaching process where we bring people in and we provide them with a series of coaching structures. One structure is on personal success. Another structure is on executive or company owner success. Another structure is on selling success. And basically what they do is they learn how to ask and answer questions and guide people to improve in each of these areas. So you need a structure to start with. The reason I could do it is because I spent decades developing very specific structures for my clients. And to then shift it to one-on-one was merely one shift of the gears. It was not starting from scratch. I would say if a person wants to be a coach, then they need a structure. They need to probably align themselves with yourself or myself or someone else who does coaching and learn how it's done. Just like if you want to become a mechanic, you take mechanical school. If you want to become a carpenter, you go to carpentry school. If you want to become a dentist, you go to dental school. If you want to be a coach, you take some coaching instruction. But the coaching instruction has to be focused on really helping people to achieve specific goals, and as you say, with forward motion.
I agree. And, you know, I remember I was talking with our friend John Gray, who did Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And, you know, he was telling me the journey of he started deciding he was going to be a relationship coach.
Right.
And he had been, you know, he'd read lots of books on relationships. People came to him for advice on relationships, but he'd never been paid. And one day he said, well, a lot of people want to know this, so I'm going to charge some money. And I'm going to hang my hat as a coach. And he said, no one gave him permission. He didn't have some certification or, you know, approval of some, you know, governing body. He just said, I'm going to start charging money for this, and I'm going to start positioning myself as I'm a relationship coach. That's what I do. That's why you pay me.
Yeah.
And I think that it's funny because all the great coaches I've ever met, at least for me, I don't know. I'm sure some of them had some certification or something if they really were down that route as a professional in their perspective. But the ones I've really met who are great are the people who said, what have I been doing? It's not that they have to be an expert in that arena. I mean, I coach some very, very high-level athletes that do things I don't know how to do. I'm
right.
Their coach. I have never even run the race that they're in. But I have the perspective to study others who have done that, and I have the perspective to still help them get to high performance, which is ultimately my goal as a coach for me, because that's what I coach on. And so what I'll help them do is figure out ways to tap into the higher energies and the higher genius that they have. And I've never even done what they do, but one day I decide, you know what, I have the ability to coach people. I have the ability to offer the perspective. I have the ability to get them progress, and I'm just going to do that. So for the people who are saying, well, how do I do it? Well, do what Brian and I have been talking about. Brian was talking about how you go out and you study. He said before he ever did anything, he studies it intensely. He studied executive coaching for a long time before he just jumped right in. So study your field, study your craft. And at some point, there'll be a critical point in your life when you just say, all right, I'm ready to start coaching people. And for me, it was I waited until I had success in the areas of my life in terms of personally and professionally until I decided to start coaching people. I mean, I'm not sure that someone who's never tasted success should coach others on success. You know?
That's a very good point. If you're going to coach on success, what have you succeeded at? Mm-hmm. I always ask mm-hmm. people that, and they'll go, huh? I say, you want to be a life coach? Boy, you must have your life together.
Right, right. And I've met so many broken life coaches, I thought, oh, my God, you know.
Well, do you know that many people, not many, probably all people who go into psychotherapy to be psychotherapists or psychologists or counselors are people who are dealing with their own demons, and they're using psychotherapy as a way to expiate their own demons. they don't have their act together, so they think what they'll do is they'll make a living helping other people get their acts together.
Yeah. No, I agree. I can't, I remember one of our events at Experts Academy, we were doing a Q&A session, and this woman stood up, and she talked about her inability to get, herself on the right track. And, we're talking just a few moments, and then she says, and I said, well, what do you do? And she says, well, I'm a life coach. And I just, the whole, she didn't mean to be funny, but the whole audience kind of laughed. And I think it's just an inherent thing in our human body that we want the people who are coaching to have their life together. We want the people who are advising us on our own psychology to have a master's psychology, not a master's in psychology, a master's psychology. And I think it's important that this conversation be had because it's so basic, but I think that at the end of the day, one of the great levels of success that you can have as a coach is by the people who you're working with knowing that you have an extremely high level of integrity.
Yes.
And when they see that you are not only practicing what you preach, but you're coming from a place of just I hope it's not egoic, but Brian, I want my coaching clients to see me as a role model.
Yes.
That's how I want them to see me. I don't want them to see as, oh, he's just my buddy. I actually want them to say, that guy over there, you know what? He inspires the best in me. Because he's being the best of himself.
Well, it's a great point. You can't teach what you don't know, and you only know it if you live it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, people who become life coaches, by the way, they always fail. People who do not have their own act together always fail at trying to help other people get their act together. It's like in speaking, people say, I want to speak on success. Well, I would say, well, what have you succeeded at? Well, I haven't succeeded at anything, so I want to try success speaking. I say, well, or they say, some guy writes to me and says, I've written a book on how to become a millionaire. And I say, well, I write back and I say, well, I assume that you are a millionaire or a multimillionaire. And they say, well, right now I can't pay my bills, but I want to write a book on how to be a millionaire. No, that's not a... Warren Buffett can write a book on being a billionaire, and somebody who's successful can write a book on being a millionaire, but not you. First go and do it, and then tell people how you did it.
Right, right. Or if you're going to report on everybody about how they're doing it, but don't position as you are the millionaire. It's like you can be the reporter expert. You can go out and report on everyone like Napoleon Hill did. That's fine, but be clear about that. And certainly don't, and more importantly, you can train or teach a topic that maybe you have not yourself. In training or teaching or coaching, you can do all of those things by reporting on other people's successes. But at the end of the day, when someone hires you as a coach, they want to sense that you fully grasp this thing. Not that I coach an Olympic runner. This is not something I know how to do. This race this person runs, I've never even run that race in my life. It's not about that for me with that person because they're hiring me as a coach not to be the greatest runner. They have a running coach. They're hiring me for high performance because their coach can only, you know, can teach them the stride and the pacing and can condition them in great ways, but I can help them get the best out of themselves in a different way. So I've never run that race, but I can still coach it because I'm an expert in my area. And I think it's important that your coaches see you as an expert in your area, and that area now certainly applies to their life and what they're trying to accomplish. And I think what's more really important is that people hear us as much as, you know, we're joking here about people, you know, wanting to be a life coach who don't have their act together. So in one way, but we're actually pretty serious about it because I know, Brian, you and I probably hear about, you know, it's not rare. I mean, it's a very common thing for people to say, I want to be a life coach, yeah, and their life is not together. So we're joking, but we're also really serious. And if you're thinking, I want to coach in this area or coach in that area, I mean, like, job one is get your own act together.
Well, you know, I have a good friend, Tom Ferry, who runs a company called One Coach. And he coaches, maybe he calls it, no, I'm sorry, not One Coach, it's called Tom Ferry Coaching. But he has been very successful in real estate for many years. And then he began coaching real estate agents on how to be very successful in real estate, and with tremendous success. So people who sign up for his coaching are going to get really, really good ideas. And that if they apply them on a regular basis and report back, their business is going to go up dramatically. So this brings us to another really important part of coaching, is that it has to be action-oriented. It has to be focused on specific actions that the client is going to take after the coaching session. So every coaching session has to end with an agreement that between now and the next time we speak, I am going to do these things. And then you loop back, and when you begin your next conversation, and most of my coaching after the first meeting is usually done on the phone, is the first thing we say, now, when I spoke to you last time, you said you were going to do this and this and this. How is everything going in that area? And then we start to focus in. One of the advantages of coaching is accountability. Is human beings are just designed in such a way that we always do better if we're answerable to someone, especially with a schedule. So we actually hire a coach, and we agree with the coach we're going to do certain things, and then we feel obligated to make sure that we do what we said we would do. And that is a major benefit of coaching, is the constant accountability. We even talk about what we call accountability partners. If you take courses, link up with someone else in the course and make an agreement that you're going to get in touch with each other every once or 2 weeks to talk about how you're using what you learned in the course and your progress.
That's great. You know, back to the getting hired perspective, how did you, when you first got paid to be a coach, how did that go down? And how can the people who are listening, how do they get clients in this world?
Well, that's a very, very good question. The whole thing about marketing, and it's amazing how many people are who want to be coaches, but they can't sell anything. And what I have found, you have to actually go out and ask people for the business. You first of all put together a coaching structure. Now, it's an interesting thing, Brandon, but if you want to attract clients, what you do is you write down a very, very clear explanation of the value that you will offer to your clients. What I did is I sat down and I spent several hours writing out all the things that I could do to help a CEO to be more effective. And I wrote it down and I prepared it like a brochure and I laid it out and I edited it and I talked about the additional services that I could offer and so on. And once that was set up, within 2 weeks, I was sitting with a couple of business people and the head of the company said, and I said, well, one of the things that I'm doing is executive coaching. He said, I need an executive coach. I want you to be my coach. And he became my client. And it was almost like the law of attraction. Just by having a very clear process, he said, what's the process? I explained to him the process that I had designed. He said, that's great. That's what I want. And that was as simple as that. There was no selling necessary. So the starting point is not to say, geez, I wish I could find some clients. It's to sit down and say, if I wanted to get someone like Brendan as a client, what could I offer Brendan? what sort of could I help him be develop greater focus with regard to his goals, personal life, and I write down all the things that I would want to help a client to achieve. And surprise, surprise, it starts to attract clients into your business. And clients have come to me about exactly the pace I can take. About one CEO client per month signs up with me, which is my goal is to have 10 in addition to everything else I do. But one of the reasons I want that is because it enables me to not only make a contribution, but it broadens my perspective on what is going on in business as well.
Keeps you sharp. Yeah.
And
absolutely. That's great.
I had an interesting, you talk about coaching an Olympic runner. I had an Olympic star who was a swimmer, top swimmer, but he always got beaten in the final contest. And he was in the Olympics, he was in every single kind of competition, but he was always beaten by just a very small amount by an American swimmer. And he came across my material on goal setting. He realized he'd never set goals before. His goal was to swim as fast as he could and so on. So he began to set goals about the exact timing that he would do in a lap and his exact turning in a lap and everything else. And in the next Olympics in Barcelona, he beat the top swimmer in his area in the world by something like 1/10 of a second. He said the whole thing was goal setting, is having really specific goals and focusing on those goals. He had been working his heart out for years, but he'd never had a written goal.
I love that. You know, I love all this. By the way, what you just said about starting with a structure, that's how I did it too, with high performance, becoming a high performance coach. I was trying to figure out, you know, because so many people always say, well, how do you get so much done? Have you achieved so much? What happened? And along the way, I always wanted to do the same, and I wanted to be able to help people. So I figured out the structure where we help people we work on these four areas. And those four areas for me with my clients are psychology, physiology, productivity, and persuasion, the ability to socially influence people.
Right.
And because I figure if we can get you to master your mind, master your energetic body, master your ability to get things done, and master your ability to influence others to help you achieve your dreams, then we can move your head forward. And so I started with that structure, very simple box. Literally, the way I started marketing was I had a web page up, and I had this box there, and I said, this is what we work through. And so people could kind of see that there was – it's really important that people visually see a structure.
Yes.
I call it the framework. If
yes.
they see the framework, then they know there's something real here, and it's not just going to be conversations or counseling. And they're going to say, oh, that's coaching. That person's going to coach me to get better in these specific areas. And so I started with the structure as well on website. And I think part of the marketing is, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more in a second here of, you know, it's both offline and online. Online, it's if they can't find you online on the web, they don't know if you're real, and I don't think you're ever going to get hired. I think individually you can certainly get referrals and network. That's the offline work, which a lot of coaching to me in terms of getting the higher-end coaching clients has always been a networking process. But just to reference what you said there about these goals and your Olympic story, I also had this client who I was brought on, very, very – here's how I got them. Sometimes you can actually get clients by getting them results first. And what happened was I was with one of my other coaching clients at this track when I got introduced to this person.
Right.
And the person heard what I did, and he literally – it was interesting. He challenged me. He said, well, why would I hire a guy like you when I already have a coach over here? And I said, well, because this race that you run, I can improve your time right now. he said, what? I said, I'm going to improve your time right now. And he said, well, it was so funny the way he looked at me because, you know, Brian, you said, I'm a scrawny little guy, you know. And this is like this Olympic. I mean, this guy looks like he could run across the savannah in 4 seconds flat. You know, he's a really impressive looking guy. And he said, well, okay. So I said, well, what's your best time in the last week on your race? And he told me what it was. And I said, well, if I could increase that right now, would you hire me? And he said, absolutely. I said, great. Okay. So he showed me, you know, he basically talked about his race. And here's all I did. I just set goals for him at specific markers of the race. And they weren't time-bound. And here's all I did. You'll love this. So his race basically has him where he's got to be really performing about three-quarters of the race. I mean, really moving. So I said, okay, if that's true. So we looked around the track, and I had him visually mark three different places on the track.
Right.
And here's what I said. I said, I want you to set a goal at each one of those marks, not time-based, but a mental-based goal. And here's what I want you to do. When you hit that specific mark, that place on the track, I want you to say in your mind with just absolute, like, get fierce about it and say, burst. And that's where I want you to burst with a new energy. That's it.
Right.
This is literally all I told him. So we get up, we line up with this coach. He's got his little stopwatch. Bam. The guy goes off. Phew, run around here. Hits the first little marker. And you could just see him burst and bam, a little kick. And then again, boom, bam, a little kick. Boom, bam. It was the best, literally on the spot, it was the best time he'd ever gotten in his life on that race.
Wow. Wow. Something as simple as that. That his athletic coach didn't tell him?
No, because athletic coaches are always, it's not about markers for them. They're so much focused on time and conditioning. And as you know, many of the reasons to hire a real coach is to have someone teach you the mental game.
Yes.
You know, great coaches do teach the mental game, but majoritively they're really focused on the physical conditioning. And they're focused on what happens, a lot of mindset coaches, they teach you what to do at the beginning, right? Maybe they teach you what to do in the middle. And they very rarely teach you what to do at the end. And so I knew just by giving this guy a reason to burst at specific parts of this thing, and by the way, they're arbitrary. I had no idea. I'd never run this race before. I didn't know any of the psychology about the specific race. All I was doing is what you teach, which is I was just helping this guy set a goal. That was it. His goal was run faster right there at that marker, then that marker, then that marker. And all I did is give him an associative term to do that, which is burst. So
great idea.
Hit that. That's all I did. So he passed that mark, burst, bam, burst, bam, burst, bam. Best time of his life.
Wonderful. You know, it's interesting. I remember the movie Man on Fire, where he's teaching the girl. She says, she usually chokes up at the beginning of the swimming when they shoot the gun. She says, the gun is your friend. The gun is your friend. The gun is your friend. The gun plunges you into the pool. The gun drives you forward. The gun makes you successful. So she used to hesitate when she heard the gun. And finally she got to the point when that gun went off, she went off like a spring and won. And what you were teaching was exactly the same thing. Now, coming back, the people who are listening are either coaches, and they want to be better coaches, which means basically they need to become better people. A really good coach is working on themselves all the time as well. I teach three-day programs. I have a program called the three-day MBA, and in it there's a whole series of exercises that people do, 80-20. 80% of the time people are working on their business in the course. But while they're working on their business, I am answering all the questions I've given them. So I am taking the course every single time. Not only do I review it before I give it, but then I take it myself. While they're writing their answers, I'm writing my answers. And it is a marvelous experience because it enables me to review my whole business every time I give the program. Mm. And I know when I'm finished writing my answers, then they're probably finished writing their answers, and I can shift them to the next exercise.
Right, right. Well, I think that's, you know, a secret to coaching success. I think it's a big secret to your success is you've been a student your whole life. You know, you're not only you're going through your own process and learning it, but you're also, I've never met someone who was just willing to learn and evolve so much. And I think that that's one reason people hire you and admire you.
Well, thank you. The first advice please give, if you want to be a coach, there's a huge need for coaches because coaches can help people accomplish things vastly faster. They can jump the learning curve and help people achieve their goals faster than they ever could without a coach. So there's a great market for it. Number two is you have to have a structure. Number three is you have to learn how to market. And fortunately, marketing and selling services is a learnable skill. It's something you can't say, well, I don't like to sell. I'm not in sales. I'm not a sales type of person. Get over it. The fact is that everybody is in sales, and if you cannot convince or persuade someone to use your services, you're going to be very poor. So you have to learn those things. And the second part is that if you are thinking of getting a coach, the critical thing is to find someone who has the kind of experience and background that is valuable to you, and find someone who is compatible with you. Those are my thoughts.
I agree. I love that. I love that. And I think, you know, I hope everybody on this line goes through your training for sales and business, because it's really impossible, and this is important for people to hear, it's really impossible to sustain that desire to help other people through coaching if you don't figure out the business. You know, I always say you can't sustain, in the expert stuff we always talk about, you can't sustain the message if you don't have the money. And it's just one of those things of this should be something that is lucrative for you, that does allow you to focus on your clients, that does allow you to feel fulfilled and engaged and rewarded for this. And in that sense, this is a business, and it should be approached as a business. You should be thinking, like Brian was saying, he's like, I've got my goal. I've got to get one client every single month on this topic. You've got to have your goal. How many people do you want to come in? You've got to pay attention to what Brian teaches about numbers and knowing what the numbers of your business are so that you can measure your growth. I mean, if this is a casual thing that you do, it will never be something that actually sustains you as a business. And that was it's simple, but I think you've worked with enough entrepreneurs as have I, where they don't get that fast enough. They don't get the focus on the financials to keep it going and growing, and at some point they end up really frustrated, or like you said, broke, and then the dream dies. And so look at this as a business.
Yes, and well, now in your Experts Academy, you teach people how to take their expertise and use it at a much higher level. Can you comment on that as it regards coaching?
Yeah, you know, our four key things that we teach at Experts Academy are positioning, packaging, promoting, and partnering. And they apply to coaching very specifically as well, which is you've got to learn how to position yourself as a coach that someone would want to pay you for. You know, you've got to learn how to position your knowledge, your expertise. You've got to learn how to then package, which is in this sense for coaching, packaging your structure, your framework, packaging your knowledge and your content in a way that people understand and can buy from you in terms of your coaching services. Then there's promoting, and if you could claim to be a life coach or a business coach or an executive development coach all day long, but if you can't promote intelligently, if you're not online and you don't have an online presence these days, you can't get hired. And then partnering with other people in a way in which gets you hired more, whether it's other people promoting you or other people referring you. Those are all part of the process of building this out as a business. And I'll share one thing that you referenced earlier, Brian. I want to make sure we mention on the call, and that's the power of group coaching. That as you build this into a real business, there's no more lucrative angle to coaching than group coaching. Because one-on-one coaching is limited by your own time and the sheer fact that you can't scale it into hundreds of clients. Otherwise, your life would be ruled by the calendar and the call.
Right.
And so the ability to group, to create a structure in which you can coach and train people over the course of a period of time in group coaching where you can get, you know, 20, 30, 100 people in there, that's where the amplification really comes in terms of the business and the revenue. And honestly, it also grows your individual practice. I tell a lot of people, you know, do individual coaching so you master it, but then transition into group coaching as quick as you can, because group coaching has such a structure to it and can attract so many people that all those people in that group coaching program then ultimately want to hire you as an individual coach, and you can raise your prices.
Well, that's absolutely right, but you have to walk before you run. So if you want to be a coach, then you learn a structure from yourself or from me or from someone else. Second of all, you have to market. And I like your whole thing about presence, positioning, everything. You have to market. You have to tell people what you do. But the starting point for me, and it took many hours to sit down and really lay out what I would offer in a coaching program, In my coaching program for small and medium-sized business owners, I designed it as a three-year program once every 3 months. So people would come to me 12 times in the course of 3 years, and every single day there would be between 8 and 12 exercises that would take anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes each. And the exercises were carefully designed to help them grow in terms of their business, their marketing, their profitability, their sales, and, of course, their personal life. So I had 72 structured exercises that I would offer, and those exercises took an enormous amount of time to design and perfect and revise and everything else. But I had the structure. And then, surprisingly enough, when you have the structure, the phone starts to ring, and people start to recommend you. And we would have 30 to 40 people each session, year after year, paying $4,000 a year, $1,000 a person per session. So the economics worked out extremely well, and it was very beneficial for the participants. Many of them doubled and tripled their incomes, sometimes in as little as 30 days, by learning and practicing these principles. So you have to have you have to market, but you have to tell people what you do, and you really have to think through, not just, I'm going to be a life coach, and are you happy, and why aren't you happy, and would you like to be happy, and what makes you happy, and so on. There's people that's their basic coaching process. No! We have to really help people. And every single coaching session has to end with specific action commitments. There's specific things. And you start, the old saying, Brendan, you start with the end in mind. Your goal is, at the end of this session, you are going to have specific action commitments that you are going to do between the now and when we talk again. This doesn't end and you walk out. It ends with specific plans.
I love that. I love it. One thing we want to leave, and I know we're about to close up here in a few minutes, I was wondering about, I didn't want to bring it up earlier because we want to talk about the process so much and about the person who you are as a coach, and that's important, but how much money can you charge clients for this? You know, people always say, okay, I want to be a life coach or a business coach. How much do I charge people?
Well, it depends upon the economic, the benefit in the person's life. So let us say a life coach can charge anywhere from $50 to $150 an hour because the benefit is kind of intangible. It's very soft on the edges. A business coach can charge $200, $300, $400, $500 an hour. I charge vastly more because I only work with people whose time is really valuable, and my advice to them, when they translate it into their business, can be worth hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars. So therefore, people will willingly pay me a lot more because the value of my advice when applied is so much higher. So that's the critical thing, is the value that you give. When you start off, you have to charge whatever you can get, and then you raise your fees over time as you have more and more demand. And I always say, raise your fees into a rising market. If you don't have a lot of demand, you don't raise your fees to try to get more per client. If you don't have a lot of demand, what you have to do is do really good work and then get recommendations and referrals.
I love that. I love that. I think it's really important that people focus on of thinking through their value that they add. If you add a very unique type of coaching that is in high demand, you charge more.
Yes.
If you're a cookie cutter, you charge less. And so that's why, you know, the first pillar we always teach at Experts Academy is always positioning, that your positioning is really everything in the marketplace because it says, well, how much do I pay this guy? Because you and I both know people who are charging thousands of dollars per hour for coaching.
Yeah.
And those people have achieved something unique in their space, or they have such highly specialized knowledge, or they're so well positioned that they're able to do that, and that should be everybody's goal who is listening, to acquire some specific knowledge, to achieve some unique things, and then also to be able to help the client accomplish so many specific and unique things with a great structure and a great process. When you combine all of that, suddenly you find yourself, you know, not in the hundreds, but in the thousands, and then you're able to attract people that you never imagined. I have, you know, my group coaching group that we have, you know, they pay $10,000 a year just to be in a group coaching program, and I never individually meet with them or speak with them ever, but we have over 100 people in that all the time. And the reason that is because they value that coaching that they're going to receive throughout that overall program, so they'll pay higher. So individually, as you get more expertise, you get more ability to help move the needle for people, and your process hones and your positioning increases, then you increase your prices. But everyone, as Brian said, you got to walk before you run. So you start, you get experience, you get better at it, you develop mastery, you increase your presence in the marketplace, then you charge higher.
Exactly. As we get to the end, the final message is that that coaching for yourself as an individual is extraordinarily helpful, and becoming a coach is extraordinarily lucrative. If you do it properly, you can make a wonderful living at coaching, either as your main business or, for me and for you, as a side part of our business, as an additional service that we can offer our clients.
Absolutely. It's one of the most rewarding things, because you actually get to see the progress of a person over time. And that really makes you feel fulfilled, versus someone might buy a book and say, I loved your book, but in coaching, it's like, wow, you literally had the time to change my life. Thank you so much.
And you really can change people's lives. Well, I want to thank you, Brendan. Your insights and ideas have been wonderful. I've been taking notes as you've been talking, and I look forward to our next time together.
Me too. Thanks, Brian. What a great call.
Thank you, Brian. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye now.